Why did Nike swoosh mean something to you? Why we want to be like Mike instead of wanting to be like Christ? You got to understand, like in 1 week, I went in Trump, Alex Jones, and then I Elon. Like in a matter of 10 days, right? Where's the lies? You know what I'm saying? So, because everybody's beholden to somebody, right? And I got to say, I'm proud of Trump.
Hey, what's going on, folks? Is Ye crazy, or does he know exactly what he's doing? We're going to react to some clips from his banned interview on Clubhouse.
I went on Alex Jones, and I said, you know, love everybody. I said, love everybody, because they, I ain't going to say who it is, I ain't going to say what doctor it is, I ain't going to say what hospital it is, have been trying to make us love certain things. Love the Grammys, love Nike. Love killing each other, love opioids, love strip clubs, right? But it's like, no, you can't love this person.
With hip-hop personality WAC 100, he weighed in on fentanyl in China.
China is shipping fentanyl into the U.S. That's one of our biggest crises, and that's a part of China's takeover of the U.S., hitting us every way possible. See, I know people point towards China all the time. They lost the Industrial Revolution, and they actually have books about how they have a 100-year plan to become the new world order.
How he thinks the power structure of the world really works?
Oh, what? Oh, how does the power structure run? Okay, we got China headed to be potentially, if it's not for Jesus Christ, the new world order, the new America. But previous to that, we do have Christian ran families, the Medici, 1,000-year-old families. They sit above the Vatican. The Vatican sits above the financial groups.
How he thinks he out-Trumped Trump, out-Elon'd Elon, and out-Alex Jones'd Alex Jones. How he feels he destroyed the third rail to let Trump stand up for himself.
Because I went and I grabbed the third rail and I lived. I went as far as you can go and I lived. Now, let's open up the conversation and see that Jared Kushner.
And how he thinks he's more autistic than bipolar when getting his message across.
You can't love, no, you gotta hate this person. This is a demonic figure, and you gotta hate this. So me, I'm like maybe a little bit autistic. I think I'm more autistic than I am bipolar, right? I think that's incorrect. I don't think I'm bipolar, but I am like an autistic person, because you've seen by me being on stage with Drake last year, Kendrick said he got more growing to do. I can't help but love. I love Ari Emanuel. I can't help but love. I don't have nothing but love. So then I said,
I listened to this whole interview, and I'm going to play some clips so you can hear what the media won't show you, and people in both political parties want to just wash away and throw off a cliff. I don't think he's crazy, but I do think he's bold, blunt, and an absolute risk taker. Hope you enjoy the show. It starts now.
It's the Dream Rare Podcast. Welcome to the show. The way to get the news at the desk or on the road. Let's go. God is great and success in our control. The world is crazy, but we get better from obstacles. It's the Dream Rare Podcast. Welcome to the show. The way to get the news at the desk or on the road. Let's go. God is great and success in our control. The world is crazy, but we get better from obstacles. Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hope you're having a good Sunday. Welcome to today's live episode of the Dream Rare Podcast. And I wanted to cover parts of Ye's Clubhouse interview he did with WAC 100, who's a hip-hop personality. He addressed a lot of interesting stuff. And I feel like as a media source, there's always going to be people in the left wing and the right wing now that are going to try to bury Ye in the same way that they've buried a lot of people. Just be like completely blacklisted from society. You can't listen to him. You can't think about him. He's crossed the Overton window. He's gone. He's crazy. He's mentally ill. They'll say there's nothing of value there. Says, you know, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but people like Matt Walsh are just writing it all off and just like he's nuts. So what I wanted to do was just bring a few clips and show you some stuff of his thought process, what he's doing, and also how he feels like he moved the Overton window for people like Trump to expose certain things. So I'm going to go through a few clips. I can't see your comments till the end. Let's start it up. And here's the first clip where he says, I out-Trumped Trump, out-Elon'd Elon, and out-Alex Jones, Alex Jones in 1 week. That's what he thinks he did. Let's take a listen.
mental manipulation, all the Edward Bernays advertising. Why did Nike swoosh mean something to you? Why we want to be like Mike instead of wanting to be like Christ? Why every half the numbers in the NBA is number 23? All of that is branding, mental branding. And then you get a brother like Kyrie, well-read information. And another thing, you take like Jalen, right? You take Kyrie. You take a couple people, right, who they family is going to be all right no matter what. You know what I'm saying? I got a couple family members that might ask me for a loan here and there. But my family got jobs, right? So that means that I don't have to listen to nothing nobody got to say. If I want to get rid of all my money and go to like riding skateboards or driving an Uber for the rest of my life, I can do that. But you know what they go and do to the NBA players? They'll be like, what about grandma? What about your auntie? You don't want to go back. You don't want to be shamed. You know, because they got a position. They're going to give you some type of job, some type of Shaquille O'Neal job for the rest of your life as long as you play the game. And with Kyrie, he got 1 year left. They question it like, will he even go, you know, would he go play basketball again? And it's interesting to me. I know you got a question later about Candace Owens. Man, you got to understand, like in 1 week, I went in Trump, Trump, Alex Jones, Alex Jones, and then I Elon. Like in a matter of 10 days, right? Where's the lies? You know what I'm saying? Because everybody's beholden to somebody, right? And I got to say, I'm proud of Trump.
So a lot to unpack there. First, the first bar he said was, you know, they got you trying to be like Mike. Why aren't you trying to be like Christ? I mean, that's a pretty epic line. He also talks about how the sports industries control people and basically say, you know, do you want a job? And, you know, I thought about this on Twitter. Let me know what you think about this. I do feel, even though I love sports, I love watching sports, playing sports, I'm an athlete myself, I do think the sports leagues are a form of control, because back in ancient days, whether it's Rome, probably Africa, Greece, you know, it wasn't just philosophers. Of course, there were really smart people, but some of the greatest leaders in history were also warriors, physically strong men. I think people that are great physically, mentally, and they're taking all of the greatest physical specimens of our time. If you're not in the MMA, you don't have the right to speak freely. They're probably the only ones, but you get to play for this league and then they control what you say, control what you think. So they're taking some of our strongest men, which used to be the leaders of society and the leaders of war. And basically you're being controlled by the Adam Silvers of the world into being pro BLM, pro, you know, rainbow flag, but you can't criticize their agenda, you know? So I do think it is kind of a form of control. And he says, you know, they put these cushy, you know, Shaquille O'Neal jobs over your head and say, do you want this or do you want to speak your mind? I thought that was great. And the fact that he said that he out Elon, out Trump, and out Alex Jones in 10 days is pretty true. Let's listen to what he said about Trump, because it's interesting. He knows exactly what he did. And he said, yeah, I might have pushed the boundary, but me pushing the boundary got Trump to basically stand up for himself against certain Jewish groups, where Trump listened to what, you know, Trump said. Apparently now they're coming after him for not condemning Ye. And Trump said, listen, I was the most pro-Israel president we've had. Like, how dare you guys come after me? Like, I need to do something.
Because everybody's beholden to somebody, right? And I got to say, I'm proud of Trump that he actually spoke up. And Ari Emanuel put something out that showed that I had stretched the limits of the idea anti-Semitism. So listen to this thing that Trump put up, I think it was this morning, right? So he says, how quickly Jewish leaders forget that I was the best by far president for Israel. They should be ashamed of themselves. This lack of loyalty to their greatest friends and allies is why large numbers in Congress and so many others have stopped giving support to Israel. He could have never said that had I... It changed in 1 week. It changed in 1 week. Because I went and I grabbed the third rail and I lived. I went as far as you can go and I lived. Now let's open up the conversation and see that Jared Kushner was standing next to Trump the whole time, and Rahm Emanuel was standing next to Obama the whole time. And then Rahm Emanuel went to my hometown and destroyed that city.
So Ye's pretty much saying he's proud of Trump for standing up for himself and said, if I wouldn't have done what I did and pushed it as far as I did, you would have never seen that conversation. And I think that's true with the January 6th statement Trump put out as well. I believe that it was Ye who put out a Twitter video before he got banned saying, why hasn't Trump done anything for his own people? And then Trump made a statement on it. I don't think Trump makes either of those statements without being pushed, which is, I mean, I didn't expect Ye in a black mask to be the one to push the boundaries. You know, I would have even thought that that was a possibility a couple months ago. But this idea in the Republican Party that everybody's so comfortable, like, you know, everybody's so comfortable going to donor meetings and passing speech laws and signing the CARES Act and Operation Warp Speed, all that's okay. But the words, you know, you'll find people, I'm not trying to throw them under the bus now, but you'll find people at Daily Wire that will basically say, yeah, he's crazy. He shouldn't talk. He should just go away. But when Trump does Operation Warp Speed or print $6 trillion, you know, all of a sudden, only Candace Owens seems to be one of the only ones speaking out against that type of stuff. Everyone else. So that's this whole society we live in. I get that he pushed the boundaries, but he doesn't sound crazy to me. It sounds like he's purposely doing it. And I think whether he means to or not, it is kind of just showing that people really do care about words more than they care about actions. And I want to say this too, with the Kyrie Irving documentary that I didn't even watch. Do you notice how they get more mad? And I'm going to play other clips of Ye soon where he kind of explains this. They get more mad at Kyrie posting a link challenging their version of history or their interpretation of history more than they get mad at the fact people are watching like demonic shows about Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, people who eat people, like everything is just evil, evil, evil in Hollywood. And he said this multiple times. He's like, why did they get to decide I'm allowed to love the evil that they're pushing out, but I can't love this? Whether people like it or not, he is exposing hypocrisy. And I think a lot of conservatives, Christians, and liberals have gotten way too comfortable in this evil, wicked world. And people have determined what you can and can't like. They'll let you love high fructose corn syrup. They'll let you love pharmacy pills. They'll let you love Jeffrey Dahmer documentaries. But God forbid you say one word. It's like, do people not realize that we are trapped? And sometimes, sadly, it takes somebody going, quote unquote, too far with their words for people to realize that they are enslaved in a system that wants to pretty much kill them, you know, or at least make them fat, weak, lazy, and completely useless. So, you know, I don't think he's crazy at all. I'm going to play a few other clips. I forget which one this is, but I'll figure it out after I play. I believe it is him explaining what happened on the Alex Jones show.
Within 1 week, you know, that's the whole thing. Oh, he lost $2 billion in a day. Then I went on Alex Jones and I said, you know, love everybody. I said, love everybody because they, I ain't gonna say who it is. I ain't gonna say what doctor it is. I ain't gonna say what hospital is, have been trying to make us love certain things, love the Grammys, love Nike, love killing each other, love opioids, love strip clubs, right? But it's like, no, you can't love this person. You can't love, no, you gotta hate this person. This is a demonic figure and you gotta hate this. So me, I'm like maybe a little bit autistic. I think I'm more autistic than I am bipolar, right? I think that's an incorrect, I don't think I'm bipolar, but I am like an autistic person because you've seen by me being on stage with Drake last year, Kendrick said he got more growing to do. I can't help but love. I love Ari Emanuel. I can't help but love. I don't have nothing but love. So then I said, I love, meaning I love everyone. It's for God to judge. It's for us to love. And that's to be Christ-like. And then our Emmanuel goes to his bosses in China and says, what am I going to do now? It's like, and they like, I don't know. We love him too. You got to understand that that's how China has taken over, is they study his playbook. And so when what I'm dealing with my accounts, when they didn't.
So I didn't feel like getting this taken down. So I censored the H word. But, you know, he basically said he thinks China's studying Hitler's playbook. And he said, you know, I'm saying I love everything and I say that and people freak out. I mean, I get why people freak out. I understand the world we live in, but people need to start thinking, you know, why are you allowed to love Jeffrey Dahmer documentaries? Why are you allowed to love abortions? Why are young girls being told to swallow pharmacy pills that pretty much make them sterile and destroy their body, you know, under the guise of, you know, safe sex or whatever? They're like, why is all that allowed, but this isn't allowed? And I'm sorry, but sometimes it takes somebody that kind of challenges political correctness from an extreme angle to really figure out what's going on in this country and in this world. And I will say this confidently, as I've said for years, you know, if I run for, and then I'm going to play this other clip, one more clip, excuse me, it's like his, they ask him if he was president, what executive orders he would sign, and I'm just going to let it play. But if you're a politician in the United States of America, and you believe in the First Amendment and free speech, and you're allowed to criticize the Democrats, the Republicans, the Christians, the Muslims, the Jews, you're allowed to criticize everything, right? You're allowed to criticize a foreign country, our own communities. Like, that's what the First Amendment was supposed to be about. If you're an American politician and you pass a speech law like DeSantis and Trump and most Republicans and even Democrats will do, if you pass a speech law that says you're not allowed to criticize Israel or foreign country more than other countries, that shows me that you are owned and controlled by that country. And then coincidentally, the speech law that you're passing into law says you're not allowed. It's now anti-Semitism to say that people are controlled by Israel or a certain group. Why else would you pass a speech law for a foreign country in America if you weren't controlled or lobbied by that group? Of course you are. If I pass a speech law for Poland, I'm controlled by Poland. If I pass a speech law in America for Saudi Arabia, I'm controlled by Saudi Arabia. If I pass a speech law in America for China that you can't criticize China as much as other countries, then I'm owned by China. And yes, the Republican Party is owned by the country that they don't want you to talk about. So I'm sorry it took Kanye West going too far for people to realize this topic, but it's been true for years. It's true now. And as much as they want to write it off because he said certain things, I'm sorry, it's time to really reframe what we're allowed to think in this world, because I'm not saying you have to think that or you have to believe that. I'm just saying I don't think it's cool that they push pharmacy pills, abortion pills, birth control pills, you know, just sex, demonic shows about like cannibals. And it's like, that's all very creepy and evil to me, but that's fine. But you can't post a documentary about Black people being Jews. Like, do people not see the weirdness about it? And I don't even know what was in that documentary, but I find that mainstream programming is much more offensive and much more damaging than that. And also, if nobody ever talked about Kyrie Irving's Instagram post, barely anyone would have saw it. It's the reaction that created the response that millions of people saw it. So that just proves that self-accountability and self-awareness goes a long way. And sometimes when you try to quash a discussion, you end up, I mean, elevating it. Whoever made that documentary made a cash cow. He's the only one who really won, because the people who tried to silence it ended up making it more popular. You have to ask yourself, is that the purpose? Do they purposely do that to then play the victim card? Or are they just completely useless in stopping hate against their groups and they don't know the right strategy? Because really, they made more of a problem by cracking down so hard on Kyrie, in my view. All right, this is the clip that's perhaps the most controversial one I'll play. It is Ye saying what he thinks the real power structure of the world is. I mean, I don't even know a lot of stuff he's talking about. It's not like I haven't heard it, but I'm going to play the clip. This is not me agreeing with it, but I'm not going to silence this or let this get blown out of the water. This is Ye taking what he would consider a massive risk, saying, this is how I think the world works. And, you know, nobody has ever said this in my position. Let's take a listen.
Oh, because they keep on making you put them articles out because you at the lowest level of the power structure. Is that why you so mad, Ari Emanuel? Oh, what? Oh, how does the power structure run? Okay, we got China headed to be potentially, if it's not for Jesus Christ, the New World Order, the New America. But previous to that, we do have Christian ran families, the Medici, 1,000-year-old families. They sit above the Vatican. The Vatican sits above the financial groups, BlackRock and Vanguard. Vanguard sits above Putin, Kim Jong-un, Biden. And you know who's under all of them? Ari Emanuel, Hollywood, It is the first line of defense for the CIA for mind control. Come and get me.
my other question for you is, what do you mean when
you... No, you understand, I said, come and get me. What I just said is far past anything anybody in my position has ever said publicly. You understand that? So we just riding on God at this point. I ain't got no security. Y'all know exactly where I'm at.
Shout out to that. I have a God on your side. I appreciate you.
He ain't lying about that. Drive me crazy.
Yeah.
You know God got us because it's that time, because they seeing it, right? They seeing it. And they doing it every time.
So he says, listen, I don't got security. I'm riding on God. You know, this is, he didn't even put, you know, Jewish people at the top of the pyramid. Like, you know, I would say he put them rather low on his idea of how he thinks the world and the power structure works. He said, I don't care anymore. I'm riding on God. You know, try me. It's bold. I mean, say what you want, but do I think he's crazy? No. Do I think he's mentally ill? No. I mean, I guess I would say he's crazy in the sense of, like, he's crazy smart. He's crazy loose. You know, Roseanne is very similar, Roseanne Barr, where she'll say a lot of stuff and everyone's like, oh, she's crazy. She's also crazy funny. She's also crazy not politically correct. And she's also crazy intricate when she talks about the world. She's not just another, like, clone celebrity who just says, like, generic stuff. So, I mean, depends what you mean by crazy. Like, yeah, crazy bold, crazy brave, crazy not controllable, crazy off the cuff. And a lot of us like that. We consider it crazy honest, you know? So, you know, these people, no offense, I'm not trying to, but, I listen to a lot of content. The Matt Walshes and the Ben Shapiros who are trying to write this narrative of, like, he's a lunatic, you know, like, this is what happened. And anybody, it's like, bro, I get what you're saying, but I could easily just as well say, like, oh, you're crazy mean to, like, kids, and just let them. I get it. And I understand that, you know, in many people's eyes, yeah, he's pushed it too far. But I've listened to him for years, even before he went on this, like, Zionist tangent. I've always liked what he said. I always find his interviews are filled with gems, and they always take the one part out of context that he probably says purposely, or he just doesn't have. A lot of people think, like, oh, what if I say that? What will, he doesn't care. You know, when he talked about slavery, he never said slavery was a choice. That's not even what he said. He said, how did it last so long? If I was a slave back then, I would have tried to free us so we weren't slaves for hundreds of years. That was the gist of what he was saying. And the same people who got mad at him are the same people that probably would have worked with the slave master and sold their own people out. He proved his point even then when TMZ and everyone freaked out. I listened to the full interview. I'm like, I get what he's saying. The White Lives Matter shirt, I mean, he just wore it and people freaked out. I mean, that says enough of what people think about what lives matter and what lives don't. So, and when he said, I love all people, it's like, if you really want to push the boundary of saying that, which everybody says all the time, you name the one person you're not supposed to love in history and you say you love them. I'm not saying it's, like, a great move if you want to keep your, Adidas deal. I'm not saying it's but I just think he doesn't care about the repercussions of what he says. And that's what's made him legendary. I just don't think he's, like, losing his mind or anything. I think he's on a mission. And he's past the point of really caring about the repercussions, honestly. Here's the last clip I'm going to play. It's a couple minutes long. They asked him, what would you do if you were president? What executive orders would you sign? And he has a lot of interesting ideas, whether he could do this stuff or not, or how that would play into executive order. I don't know. But I thought he has some very interesting ideas on China, fentanyl, and also manufacturing in America. I mean, definitely... I do not want this guy blacklisted from the conversation. I don't want him banned. I'm not going to play into this idea that he's, like, you know, they tried to do the same thing to 20 conservatives and other people in history. And this guy definitely deserves a seat at the table to talk. I mean, he's pushing the boundaries, but, you know, tell me this isn't pretty solid.
That was weird. But when you become president, what would be some of the executive orders that you'll implement effective immediately?
I think we start by ending the most favored nation with China because of the coronavirus and fentanyl. China is shipping fentanyl into the U.S. That's one of our biggest crises. And that's a part of China's takeover of the U.S., hitting us every way possible. See, I know people point towards China all the time. They lost the Industrial Revolution, and they actually have books about how they have a 100-year plan to become the New World Order, and that's the ability to print the money. That means that we will follow China, that they will be the most influential nation. Right now, America is the most influential nation, but you have companies like Comcast that run everything, and they use the Jews, they use celebrities, they use Disney, Hulu, they use magazines, they use all of that to control, or to control a lot of the messaging, to push us, to excite us, to get us just talking back and forth. Meanwhile, all of our industries have been completely shattered, and the places where we used to have steel factories throughout Middle America have now gone away, and we have opioid crises instead. So we're going to start right there. Defund all federally funded abortions. More Black people are aborted than born at this point in New York City. That's 2022. Also, the number one cause of death for Black people is abortion, by far, over anything you could think of, over any type of crime, heart disease, drugs, police, all of these things. Suspend all foreign aid. We have to focus on our country. You know, we are the inventors. We invented, you know, Ford, Apple, Disney, McDonald's, you know, just America. America's the youngest startup in history. So, you know, when I hear the inventors, the amazing minds coming out of these colleges, the people who know how to create energy from tires, alternative energy sources, like Tesla said, the earth is a giant generator. And then Commonwealth Edison basically started electrocuting animals in the street. And then Tesla died without, you know, without a penny trying to sell a nuclear bomb. But the information that he had would have freed us all. So I always say, like, what if Tesla, you know, had an Instagram? How much more free would our people be right now? Then you got the original BLM. It's not Black Lives Matter. It's Bureau of Land Development. I know about that because I got over 13,000 acres in America. I got 300 acres in Calabasas. I got property in Malibu. I've got over 12,000 acres in Wyoming, multiple properties. And it is very difficult to build. So that forces us into TikTok, into Second Life, into an alternative version of the real world. And the real world is the real video game. That's on earth. It shall be on earth as it is in heaven, like we pray. But if we get, if we've got the Bureau of Land Development blocking developers, and that's not even me, it's like a celebrity, you know, coming from music, attempting to build homeless shelters and cities of the future. I'm talking about straight up good old boys, like Catholics, you know, that can't even build in America right now. So those are some of the main ones.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let me know what you guys think. He talked about Nikola Tesla. He talked about fentanyl. He said suspend all foreign aid, which, I mean, dude, if you want to see how not America First Republicans are, tell them you want to suspend all foreign aid and watch Ben Shapiro and PragerU freak out at the thought of not giving Israel billions of dollars, you know? They will freak out. Democrats, obviously, and a lot of Republicans will freak out about not paying Ukraine. The second that America stops just being a piggy bank for the world, people will freak out at the thought of that. They already do it, like Rand Paul and Thomas Massey. So let me know what you think. I'm going to keep this one pretty short, but overall, I listened to the Clubhouse interview. I took the clips that I thought were interesting and, you know, notable. It seemed like it was copyright free because it happened on Clubhouse. So I figured I could share it and it wouldn't be too big of a problem. And, you know, as far as him making, I think, the Republican Party uncomfortable, like even he's making Daily Wire uncomfortable. I'm sure a lot of people at Prager uncomfortable and, you know, Ronna McDaniel's uncomfortable. They're trying to make Trump, you know, feel uncomfortable. I think the Republican Party needs to feel uncomfortable because right now it's just a donor party hangout. They pretend like they're a big tent. Oh, we're a big tent. You know, you can come be a Republican now. It doesn't matter who you are. They're a big tent for grifters. They're a big tent for, you know, liberals. They're a big tent for left-wing reporters. But if you're a Christian who believes what the Bible says, all of a sudden you're too far for them. So I don't think they serve the country. I don't think they're they're better than Democrats, obviously. But I think this party, including Trump and DeSantis and Ronna McDaniel and TPUSA and PragerU and Daily Wire, like, I think there needs to be a little bit of uncomfortable feeling there because I don't think they're serving this country. And I think that's proven with the speech laws that they all pass and defend. And like I said in earlier interviews, for those who aren't here, because we have a couple thousand people, you know, they've blacklisted people for years. Anybody that knows that the Republican Party is selling out America and passing speech laws for a foreign country, they make sure to pretty much mark you down and say, like, don't hire this person. Don't let this person speak on college campuses. They're maintaining their illusion that they're America first while they're selling America out. And I just, this is my take to everybody who's conservative or not. I don't really care. You know, I don't think 2020 was a fluke. I think a lot of people want to pretend like, oh, that was just a fluke. Like, you know, our leadership's good. Like, Trump really had it. But like, you know, Operation Warp Speed and the CARES Act and printing $6 trillion and the economic implosion and the COVID, like, that was all just a fluke. And like, if he gets back and like, that won't happen again. I think we have to stop playing this game in America. Reagan passed the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, which paved the way for a lot of what's going on now. George W. Bush passed the PrEP Act, which absolutely paved the way for vaccine manufacturers during the COVID lockdowns. George W. Bush passed the Patriot Act and started the War on Terror. And at the time, Republicans thought it was good because they thought they were fighting radical Muslims and they thought they were fighting, you know, bin Laden, when in reality, they were just pushing a war agenda that sucked trillions of dollars out of their country, got them in trouble, and they're not safer, and the Middle East isn't, you know, safer in my perspective to show for it. And the Patriot Act was always designed, in my view, to spy on American citizens. But in order to pass something that says, hey, let's give up our right to privacy and let the government spy on you, you can't just tell conservatives like, hey, conservatives, we're going to spy on you and we're going to lie to you. Oh, let me support you. No, you have to figure out something that Republicans don't like. And Republicans at the time didn't like bin Laden and they didn't like a lot of Islamic rule. So they used Islam as a guise to pass the Patriot Act. And they're doing the same thing now with the Israeli loyalty speech laws, which prove the Republican Party sold out to that country, which is why you're not allowed to talk about it or say it, why there's a speech law. I mean, if you pass a speech law for a foreign country, it proves you're controlled by that foreign country, point blank, period. I don't care if it's Saudi Arabia, China, or Israel. But they're doing the same thing that they did during the Patriot Act. They're saying, oh, look at Ilhan Omar. Look at the crazy Muslims who hate us. Pass a speech law. Oh, look at Ilhan Omar. Pass a speech law. Oh, it's just the far right that hates us. Pass a speech law. Oh, it's the anti-Semites. Pass a speech law. Oh, Ben Shapiro. Pass a speech law. PragerU. Pass a speech law. Charlie Kirk. Pass a speech law. They're doing the same exact thing. Oh, we're fighting the establishment. Here's a pharmacy lobbyist. Oh, we're fighting the establishment. Print $6 trillion. Oh, we're fighting socialism. Now we're doing socialism. Oh, we're fighting Bill Gates, but we're passing Bill Gates' executive order. Oh, we don't like communism, but we're going to pass an executive order to give the CDC power to strong-arm landlords. Fact check everything I just said. It's all true. Oh, we're fighting big pharma. Oh, but we're just giving them all this money and power. It's all an illusion. It's not like, oh, next time it'll be different. If we just keep rolling down this parade. No, somebody needs to make these people feel uncomfortable. And I'm talking about peacefully and legally just for the, you know, feds and cops that are probably watching, but in general, peacefully and legally, but uncomfortable in the sense of let's use our First Amendment. I don't want DeSantis to feel super comfortable and Trump to feel super comfortable to just sell us out to a foreign country or sell us out to big pharma, you know, which Trump is doing. I don't think DeSantis is. He's running circles around Trump on that topic. But in general, everyone's like, oh, I want to feel comfortable. Yeah, of course you do, Matt Walsh. Of course you do, Ben Shapiro. Of course you want to feel comfortable to just do nothing and make a lot of money. We get it. And Matt Walsh is being risky in the, you know, in the other department, I think he's taking a lot of risks, but I get like what, and the point I want to get across before I leave is I'm trying to take a different type of risk than Ye, where Ye is like, I have billions of dollars. I don't have to do this. I could have been a billionaire. I could do whatever I want. I could fly to Paris. I'm putting this all on the line because I believe in Christ and I believe in the country. Whether you believe Ye is really doing that or not, that's on you. I'm not going to tell you what to think. But I'm taking a similar risk as far as like, I don't really care and I don't have as much to lose like money wise as Ye, But in general, if you really follow a lot of these conservative influencers, a lot of them have gotten into the game. They got into it because they didn't like the establishment. They got into it because they didn't like the two-party system. They got into it because they didn't like grifters and the Marco Rubio types. And, you know, they got, and they've turned into those exact same people. I mean, look at these people on Instagram. Not trying to be a dick, not trying to be rude, but all they do, look, I'm wearing a MAGA shirt on a plane. Ha ha ha, buy my shirts. Look, I'm hanging out with Trump. Look, they're the exact same type of grifter, dual party, do nothings that they got into politics to stand up to. And all these people are way too comfortable passing speech laws, way too comfortable not trying to challenge Trump, way too comfortable becoming the establishment and pretending like they're still fighting the establishment, way too comfortable just saying, oh, it's always the left, when literally their party's in on it too, way too comfortable acting like they're new age Republicans are really that much better than the Mitch McConnells, when a lot of them are really the exact same types that are controlled by money, power, fame, and ego that'll turn into Mitch McConnell when they're 80 years old. And I'm sorry, but peacefully, legally, and just like speech wise, these people need to feel uncomfortable because they're getting way too comfortable. And the reason they're getting so comfortable, people don't realize, is they're making a fortune. You know, if they get paid to speak at a college gig, you know, they're probably getting a couple thousand, 5,000, 10,000. I'm not saying they shouldn't make money or anything, but they've lost sight of what they got into politics to do. They got into it, or they claim to have gotten into it, to stand up to the establishment. And right now they're just grifting along, making money. And when something comes up in politics where it's like, either you could risk six figures of and a relationship with Donald Trump and Mar-a-Lago to speak the truth about the speech laws they're passing for a foreign country, or to speak truth about him turning into a vaccine salesman, or they don't want to do it, not because it's not true. They just have to play stupid in order to preserve their own power. Isn't that what the Republican and Democrats do? Isn't that why we don't like them? It's easy to just bash at the left all the time. Yeah, the left sucks and, you know, they're lost. But are you even trying to educate them? Or are you just selling merch and trying to suck up to right-wing donors? Half of these popular conservatives, all they do is dress in suits and go to donor meeting, donor meeting, donor meeting, donor meeting, donor meeting. That's all they're doing, guys. They say generic stuff, Fox News, generic. They've turned into right-wing NPCs that just say the same five things on loop, suck up money, and do absolutely nothing. So they get uncomfortable when you challenge Trump. They get uncomfortable when you challenge the speech laws. They get uncomfortable when someone comes along that isn't just saying generic basic stuff and they're talking about Kushner and Rahm Emanuel in Chicago. Yeah, that makes everybody, that is kind of what's happening to the country. I'm not saying he's saying it in the most digestible way, but neither was Donald Trump to a lot of people. And everyone's like, oh, well, he should have said it different. Who cares how he said it? Oh, he said build a wall and he didn't. He said it fine. It's just people cry about words. And this is the blind spot in the Republican Party. And it's not a blind spot because nobody knows about it. It's a blind spot because that's where they're getting their money from. The biggest Republican donor in modern history was Sheldon Adelson, who recently passed away. He would donate hundreds of millions of dollars to Republicans like Trump and the GOP. When he donates hundreds of millions of dollars, he's been on stage before and he said, I served in the American army, unfortunately, or the American military, unfortunately. I wish I would have served for Israel, and I hope my kids serve for Israel. They will serve for it. He's telling you he doesn't just have dual loyalty between America and Israel. He has more loyalty to Israel. Just like when I had a conversation with Rudy Rockman, he says a lot of people feel that way. They're just not honest about it. Oh, I know. But the point that I'm getting to is not the fact that he can't feel that way, but then Trump and DeSantis, like little puppets, they go and pass a speech law that says that it's anti-Semitism to suggest that anybody has loyalty to Israel. When their biggest donors have loyalty to Israel, they've said that's why they're passing the speech laws. They are controlled by that country. That's why they say it's hate speech. Yeah, the truth sounds like hate speech to a bunch of Republican puppets who run around and take donor money and don't want to lose their cash cow. That's what the Republican Party is. I've told people this since 2019. People don't want to listen. And now Ye is saying the same stuff, maybe a little less gracefully, and everybody's crying and freaking out about it. Understandable. But I'm sorry, people need to feel a little bit uncomfortable because this is what the Republican Party is. A bunch of phonies, a bunch of frauds selling Trump sweaters, you know, posing on airplanes like, ha ha, look at me, ha ha, I'm so edgy, ha ha ha. But when it comes to really being edgy and really doing something, all of a sudden they get like 2 feet tall and they look like little mice and they're like, oh, I don't want to lose my donor money. Oh, I don't want to not get invited. I know you don't, because your whole life is a grift now. You're the new Marco Rubio. You're the new Mitch McConnell. You're the new sellout. You're the new George Bush. You're the new Patriot Act. You're the new Iraq War. You only say things that are convenient for your party because you know who feeds you the money. So this isn't happening spontaneously. It's certainly not everybody's fault from a group, but the most powerful people that have the donor money are controlling the Republican Party. And Ye is one of the only people in the country that's bold enough to talk about it in a way that's so bold, you know, it bothers some people. Even I'm like, damn, I wouldn't have said it that way, but I get what you're saying, but I wouldn't have said that, but I get it. You know, I get I could pretend like I'm Matt Walsh. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. That's so terrible. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It's like, dude, shut up, Matt Walsh. You know, you get blown out of the water in a debate if we talked about the speech laws that your company helps cover up and supports. You know, you don't want to talk about that. Yeah, stick to the kid stuff. That's fine. He does great work when it comes to calling out what's going on in schools and with children. But let's not act so, as Trump would say, Ron DeSanctimonious about it. You know, because you're really outclassed and really outperformed on this topic. It's something that I understand is tough for you to talk about, but our party's not going anywhere until that's addressed. So I've been saying it for years. I'm glad somebody's saying it somehow. You know, it's like with Trump. People are like, well, you know, why did Trump say it like that? Dude, I don't know. It's Donald Trump. Like, why did Donald Trump build a building? Why did Donald Trump start The Apprentice? Like, I'm not going to sit and micromanage why Donald Trump said it a certain way. The point is, did you understand what he said? He never said all Mexicans were bad. He said they're bringing crime and drugs. There's rape going on at the border. And then he said most of them, I would assume, are great people. He literally said that in this. Oh, but why didn't he? Who cares? Are you that fake that you can't get through the point? Why did Ye say it the way he said it? I don't know, because he's Ye. I don't know. Trump is Trump. Ye's Ye. I'm sorry. Should we spend 5 years crying about the way he said it when 98% of the interviews gems and it's something that no one's saying? Should we bury it and blacklist it for all of history and say don't look there when he's one of the only ones talking about this topic? Yeah, just like with Trump, it's like, I would have said it differently, but I'm not Trump. I would have said it differently than Ye, but I also didn't make graduation and Jesus is king. So I don't think he cares how I would have said it. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of things I wouldn't do. I stay true to myself, but I'm not going to sit and act like everything that's going on here is so bad just because the same phony gatekeepers are trying to shut up this subject like they've been doing for 3 years. They've been blacklisting people behind the scenes. There's a reason that you'll never see me speak on a college campus. First of all, Trump passed executive orders that might get me thrown off of a campus, because now you don't have free speech if you criticize Israel on a college campus or say the truth that offends the country that owns the Republican Party. But that's a speech law. You can't say that they own them. But yeah, oh yeah, is there any speech law that says Italy can't own? Of course not, because Italy doesn't have big donors that pay off Republicans to pass speech laws. It's so obvious, folks. And everybody wants double standards. Every racial group, whether it's a black group or a Jewish group, first of all, God bless you, but everybody wants to play this game. We can organize as an ethnic group, but if you do it, it's racist. We don't have supremacy in our group, but you have supremacy. We can buy our own businesses, but you can't buy your own businesses. We can say you did everything wrong in history, but you can't question us. We get the hypocrisy. We get I get it. All these groups think you're so much better and special, and you need all these rights and special words, and nobody can talk about it. And even though it's true that you might own a lot of real estate in this, you know, sector of banking, like, yes, you admit that that's true, but you can't say that it's true because someone in history said it was true and something bad happened. So now the truth is illegal because, you know, the truth might, maybe the problem, self-accountability and self-awareness. Did anybody ever think that maybe that's a part of it, whether it's white, black, Jewish, American, China, you know, maybe self-accountability needs to be a part of it. Because when you're always blaming others, always having double standards, and you don't face the truth in your own community, yet you weaponize thousands of groups to say, don't say that, don't say this, don't challenge this. But then when people in your group are doing something wicked to the country, like pushing pills and abortion and, you know, music about killing people in the streets, all of a sudden these groups that care so much about the group, they'll condemn an individual from the black race that's talking about something, but they won't condemn one of their own. Oh yeah, we care so much, but we're individuals, but we're a group, but we're individuals, but we're a group. Okay, if you're a group and you condemn Ye and Kyrie, when are thousands of World Jewish Congress and ADL type groups going to condemn the record executives who are pushing opioid music, pill music, and just degenerate filth to our country. When is that condemnation coming from all these groups? It seems like you're only interested in quashing criticism of your group, then claiming it doesn't exist, then never holding people accountable. And sorry, it's the same thing in other groups where, you know, I listened to Dr. Umar Johnson on Breakfast Club recently, and I don't dislike Dr. Umar Johnson. He's pro-Black. He loves his people. I think he's edgy and, you know, taking a lot of risks with what he says. And I find that heroic and brave. But he talked about a police genocide. I'm not saying every cop is great, but like, this is the type of thing. It's like, he's pro-Black, you're going to act like the police are genociding your race in the streets. It's not true. I mean, there are corrupt police, but it's a genocide. Here's my take to Dr. Umar, and God bless the guy. If you really feel that, why don't you try to go to every one of the communities that you think you're a leader of and tell the police to leave? Why even police a community where the people think you're killing them when you're literally not? Like, could Dr. Umar police the South Side of Chicago? Could Dr. Umar police, you know, Black neighborhoods in New York City? Or the police are just running around killing? That's not the case at all. It's people killing each other at such rapid rates that it sucks to be a police officer there because there's so much crime and evil. And the majority of, if you want to talk about a genocide, is people killing each other in their own ethnic group. But you can't talk. This is why it continues. That's why I say to every group, including my own group, you know, whether you classify that as American, Christian, white, whatever, self-accountability and self-awareness. You know, everybody else isn't the problem if you're not taking accountability and ownership over your own life and calling stuff out and rearranging it, then it's nobody's fault but your own. But I guess I can't say that to other groups. I just have to sit here and act like I'm a third-class citizen in my own country, the same way Big Pharma tried to make me one. And, oh, you can't do everything. You can't question. You can't do this. But we're going to use that shield that you can't question, or else it's racist or anti-Semitic, to just push forward and push against your values, but you can't notice it's happening. I'm sorry. I'm not a slave. I'm not a prisoner. I'm not a lab rat. I'm not a serf. I'm not a second-class citizen in my own country. People can lie about me or say what they want, but I speak the truth. I have love for everybody in every country. And, you know, the jig is absolutely up. People have woken up and this cat's not going back in the bag. And true peace and true unity and racial tension will heal itself when everybody comes to the table and is honest. We got to stop with the double standards, stop with the hypocrisy, and absolutely understand that actions matter more than words. And if we live in a country that gets mad at a Kyrie Irving documentary, but not a creepy Jeffrey Dahmer film, if we live in a country that gets more mad about somebody who said something on Alex Jones, but not the fact that there's people on television today that are acting like they're heroes that have probably killed millions of people in war and wasted trillions of dollars, and we're losing trillions of dollars every year, and our Defense Department audit doesn't know where they are, and, you know, they're going to act like the lockdowns weren't a massive, you know, I would say crime against humanity, in my opinion, but I don't even know if I'm allowed to have that opinion because I work on like psychotic social media sites that have zero soul. You know, oh, but that's not a problem. It's what the other guy said, not the fact that there's whole power structures that basically told us if we disagreed with getting locked inside our house, we have to get banned off of social media. Oh, but that's, but nobody's going to, we got to just, I'm sorry, I don't live in a world where actions matter less than words. And the reason that the elites keep doing this stuff is because people are literally this stupid. So that's my message to humanity, Americans, everybody. Don't play the victim. Don't even blame the elites. If you act like cattle and you act like sheep, you know, they're going to put you on a conveyor belt to your own slaughter. So, you know, nobody's making you do this. This is a great country still. It's a great world. You know, don't play the victim. I don't care if it's yay, these people, that people, you know, everybody has the right to free will to do what they want for the most part. I mean, you can't just do anything, but this is a pretty good world. And the reason that all the wickedness happens is not simply because certain people are doing it. It's because the majority of people just sit there and allow it and just sit on the couch and watch these creepy Netflix shows and watch these demonic, like, cultural trends that are absolute propaganda to destroy the minds of you and your children and make your little girls and boys like psychos. You know, that's all. Everybody just puts up with that. And that's normal. But what's not normal is when somebody challenges it in a too harsh way on a podcast. So, you know, we can't play the victim either. If people keep acting like sheep, we're going to keep rightfully getting treated like this. So we got to wake up and respect ourselves before anyone else is going to respect us, in my view. Appreciate you guys. If you'd like my hat, this is my last little pitch, dreamrare.com. You go to dreamrare.com. You can get the hat. Dreamrare links has all my links. My email list is stayintouchwithme.com. Thank you to everybody signing up to there, stayintouchwithme.com. And my Telegram chat is t.me/dreamrarechat or dreamrarechat. Thank you, guys. Dreamrare links has it all. And I'll be back soon. Appreciate the discussion. And, you know, I want to see racial tension lower. I want to see peace rise. And I definitely don't want to see crime and filth rise like it is in major cities. And, you know, a discussion is only going to help, I believe. I don't think quashing discussions about tough issues is going to really work moving forward.